I like that song. I Will Follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. So once again, I say good morning and welcome, as well as Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And I was just thinking of the words of David, and I'm sure you often think of these words as well. I was glad when they said to me, "Let me go in the house of the Lord." And I think of the words that the author of Hebrews wrote as well. And we desire to go into the house of the Lord by virtue of that we may consider one another in order to stir to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that we may encourage one another. Will you join me in prayer? Our Father, who is our God and Savior, we stand before you in public offering sincere prayer. I pray this morning that we lift our voice with one accord to thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your peace on this Mother's Day. Right now, Father, we appeal to you to help us to realize that you are an audience of one that we come here to worship this morning. And Lord, help us to understand that we worship you because you are holy. And Lord, we praise you for what it is that you have done and who you are. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, because of your goodness, realize and understanding, Lord, that there's no darkness in you. So this morning, Lord, we proclaim that we may shut out everything, that we may hear you and turn our attention to you and you alone. Father, we know when you are the audience of our preaching, you will faithfully, unfailing, bless us. So, Father, right now, fill our minds, and may the words flow from our lips, and may your word find a home in our hearts. We have asked these things in the name of the soon-to-be rider on the great white horse, whose name is Faithful and Truth, none other than Jesus Christ. And all God people say amen. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject, the heart of motherhood. And you perhaps is aware of the history of Mother's Day in America, and it can be traced back to May 12, 1907. A woman by the name of Anna Jarvis held a small Mother's Day service in honor of her mother. And in 1914, the U.S. president made Mother's Day a national holiday that we celebrate today in this country. And it is always interesting to me, the holiday that we celebrate in the church, their history, and realizing that Mother's Day proclamation for us happened way after the canon had closed, is obviously that this is not a day that is in the Bible. But it's a good day. So don't get me wrong in terms of where I'm trying to go, but I want to share something with you this morning that you may not have thought of. But anyway, the pagan origin of Mother's Day dates back to ancient Greek. During their yearly spring festival, they paid tribute to a figure named Renee, the wife of Carnus, who was the mother of various gods and goddesses. And as I said earlier, please do not take that statement as a Sparta alert, because we just honor our mothers here this morning. But the Bible does tell us, by way of the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and hear these words: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. That particular verse says that Mother's Day is not one day a year, but Mother's Day is every day. So within the Church of Jesus Christ, Mother's Day is celebrated every single day. And that's why I was taking you where I was taking you, based upon the origin of the day and based on what God commands us to do in terms of honoring our mothers. But I believe that the secular world paused today to celebrate Mother's Day, just as it does in pausing to celebrate any other holiday declared by the government. And as I said, please do not leave here today with the impression that I am saying do not celebrate Mother's Day. It is a good day, and it's a good thing to do. What I am saying is this: the Christian community celebrates Mother's Day every single day. And I'm being repetitive in my speech because I want to drive this point home, that Mother's Day is every single day of the year. Now, let me also say this: the deeper meaning of Mother's Day is not only honoring our mother for giving us physical life, but also honoring God, who gave us physical life, intellectual life, and spiritual life. So when we remember our mothers, we should also remember God for creating us. Now, let me say this. From the first pages of Genesis, God ordained the family. And after the fall in Genesis 3, he told Eve that she would have pain in childbirth. But in that proclamation, he also created the first mother. God's love for women, for mothers, shine through the Bible, as women are given dignity, respect, attention, and responsibility. Now let me say this as well: motherhood is spoken throughout the Bible as a high and important calling. God uses the metaphor of mother to describe the ways he loves and cares for his children. In fact about it, there's many attributes that God describes himself as a mother. And I was just thinking of over there in the book of Isaiah, he utilized the image of a mother hen spreading out his wings to cover its little chickens. And I think of mothers, how they would go to any extent to defend and protect, you know, their children. And as I said, throughout Scripture, God often grants motherhood to women who were barren or otherwise unable to conceive. Consider Abraham's wife, Sarah; Isaac's wife, Rebecca; Hannah, the mother of Samuel; Elizabeth, the mother of John. motherhood of those women played a role in redeeming us. And your motherhood, mothers, plays a major role in nurturing the life of your children for the glory of God. Therefore, Scripture teaches mothers to point their children towards Christ by praying for them, by modeling faith and character for them, and training them in wisdom. Now, the word mother in both Greek and Hebrew is pretty simple. They both mean mother. But each one has an interesting point to birthing. In Greek and Hebrew, they both mean mother. But they have a very, very interesting point when it comes to birthing. And I want you to listen to this. In Hebrew, it adds parting, pointing, or departure, division. A baby will depart from the womb of the mother. In Greek, it implies a source of something. So you see that departure of that child, that mother is the source. And I'm going to take you somewhere, so just be with me here. Bear with me. So birth is the point of departure. When a child is born, the mother is the source, and a parting or division occurs. It's clear that a mother is one who gives life. That's another very important point I want you to hang on. A mother is one that gives life, not take life. Very, very important. So that point is very important to keep in mind. A mother is one who gives life. Now, there are many stories in the Bible involving motherhood. And I have chosen three mothers to highlight the heart of God. And let me just say this. In the Bible, there are a lot of instruction that is provided for the father and given to a child. But you won't find a lot of instruction for the mother. But as I look at some of the attributes of God, I can really see where mother get their mothering from, directly from God. And as I said, let me share three women's with you in terms of motherhood. All three of these you are very, very familiar with. One, you might ask, Brother Morris, why did you include that particular one? But that particular one will help us to really see it, to really understand that a mother is one that gives life. So really keep that phrase in mind. A mother is one that gives life. Now, the first mother I want to highlight is Jochebed. Some may say Jochebed. And you know who that mother, son is, Moses. Now, That particular story is recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And we are not going to read that, but I just want to reference that if you choose to do so. And I chose Jochebed for the simple reason is this. We hear more about Moses than her. So I want to highlight some things about her as a mother. As you know, Jochebed had only about the first 4 or 5 years to raise Moses before she had to turn Moses over to Pharaoh's daughter. And you know the story where Pharaoh wanted to kill all the boys, and what she did in putting him in a basket and allowing him to float down the Nile River. And his daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, finds this boy and takes him in and even sent for the mother to raise him. Now, I'm pretty sure that Jochebed didn't go back to her home and do that. She remained there in Pharaoh's castle and raised Moses. So you really see that Moses is being read apart from his what? Father. I'm not really sure we have thought about that an awful lot, but this is a very, very important piece of information in terms of what has transpired and to show you what a mother can do in raising her child in the Lord. Okay? Now, I'll ask you this question, and it's a rhetorical question. How successful do you think Jochebed was in raising Moses? Consider this circumstance that I just presented to you, that I believe in my heart, 9 times out of 10, she didn't raise him back in the home with her husband, Moses' father, but she had a place within the castle, or whatever you want to call Pharaoh's home, and that's where she raised him. After those 4 or 5 years, she turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter and perhaps resume her life back home. But listen to these words here, how successful she was in those few years in raising Moses, turning him over to another woman. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. Listen to these words. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the peoples of God than to enjoy the fleeing pleasure of sin. Keep going. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You see how successful she was? By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And listen to these words. And this is what was written about Moses when he died, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. I'm trying to get you to see how successful Jochebed was in raising Moses those 4 or 5 years that she had only before she turned him over officially to another woman. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. And there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, Jochebed should be an encouragement to all moms, and especially single moms, that if you do things God way, if you train up the child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I remind you this morning that Jochebed did not have Proverbs 22:6 to raise Moses. Proverbs 22:6 came about 6 centuries after Moses. But you really see this woman had the heart of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see this morning. Women who raise their children with the heart of God. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let me bring to your attention another biblical woman that should be an illustration, example for all mothers. And this is where we should be looking to get our examples and illustration in raising our kids. Because this is the legacy that God has given unto us, has given unto mothers, that they is able to look back into history and understand what motherhood is all about. Hannah, I want you to listen to this now. You think that young mothers have a lot of problems, a lot of issues today raising kids. It's no different than years and years ago, I'm going to tell you. And I don't think that I'm reading something that is not there. But you got to understand, just like our story of Moses, this woman had to turn that boy over to another woman after she had instilled into him morals, values, and principles of God. So, but listen to this story here then. Maybe I can convince you. Listen to this story. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. This particular story is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm not going to do a lot of reading. I'm just making a reference that you have something to refer to if you desire to read this story. But I'm pretty sure that many of you know this story already. But I want to inculcate this story in your mind on this Mother's Day. That's what I'm trying to do here this morning. Hannah's story is a tragic one. And think about how many stories you hear today, and you say in your mind, that is a sad, tragic story. Here's one right here in the Bible. But she is raising this boy for the Lord. And that's where she's getting her help from. But let me not belabor this point. But listen to this right here. Hannah was the wife of a man who was married to two women at the same time. And Hannah was mocked by the other wife because she had not bore any children. She was barren. Doesn't that story sound tragic? A woman here who is married and the man has another wife as well? That's a tragic story. We will frown on this today. But watch this right here. And we know that God is not advocating this. But in these biblical times, this was permissible. Notice I said permissible, not ordained. But here, go right here. Hannah's husband loved her, but she was not the only woman that he loved. So this is what Hannah did. Hannah was barren. This other woman was having kids for this man. But Hannah got down on her knees and took her problem to the Lord. Hannah prayed. She prayed. Listen to this right here. Her prayers was mistaken by the high priest Eli for being drunk. Drunkenness. Nevertheless, God heard her prayer and gave her Samuel. And I'm going to remind you of something. Samuel was born in a household of confusion. Does it sound like some stories you hear today? I see a few people shaking their head. But you've got to raise these kids in the name of the Lord. And that's what Hannah did. Listen to this right here. And when the child was weaned, which was probably within 3 years, in ancient history, biblical times, a child is born, and within 3 years, the child is weaned. And you have to read this story because I'm not giving a lot of information. I didn't read this story. I'm just pulling some facts from this story, and it says that. 3 years. 3 years old. And what I'm trying to get you to see is this, church. Whatever mothering Hannah would give Samuel, it had to be effective because it was given over a short span of only 3 years. And after those 3 years, Hannah made a promise that she would turn that child over to God at the temple to the high priest. So now the child is weaned. She is going to deliver the child over to the high priest. Can you think of taking your 3-year-old or 4-year-old child? I'm just making up something in terms of driving 200 miles and drop it off to someone else. This is what Hannah did because she made a promise to the Lord that if you give me this child, I will raise him for you, Lord. And Samuel, believe it or not, was the first what? Judge. And I often think about that. That these peoples in these days had some insight that there was something was going to happen at a particular time, and they began to engage God for that particular moment, and God is responding. Just think of Daniel. Daniel realized at a particular moment that God wanted to do something, and he began to engage with God, and it happened. Think of little Mary. Not only Mary was aware of the incarnation or the birth of Jesus being born, miraculous, other women throughout Israel was aware of that as well. And that's what we need to do, is we need to begin to find out where God is working and begin to engage him. I didn't mean to get off there, but it just came to my mind, and I have an act to do that sometime. Now, I ask you this question. Based upon Hannah being barren, giving a child, only having a short period of time to raise that child, and then turn him over to the high priest, how successful do you think Hannah was? And once again, it's a rhetorical question, and you know that, but I'm trying to drive a point home here this morning. So let's look at how Hannah's effort turned out. And I want you to listen to her words spoken when she brought her little obedient trained boy to the high priest. And those words are recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. And listen to these words. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also man. And there came a man of God to Eli and said to him, thus saith the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offering, my fire from the peoples of Israel. And Hannah, little boy, worshiped the Lord right then and there. His mother taught him to do that. And we all know that Samuel was not converted at that particular time, but as we turn a few chapters over, we'll know that Samuel came to know the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 3. These are women that are raising kids and pleading with the Lord for kids, and the Lord is blessing them for these children. And they are making a promise to the Lord that they will turn these children over to the Lord. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they only have a few years to instill in them what they need to know about God. And they are being effective. But this last story is perhaps the most surprising one. And when you say, Morris, you could have chosen other women, biblical women. But I want you to hear this particular story here. And I reminded you already that I want you to keep a phrase in your mind that mothers are one that give life. That's the point I was driving to. And I thank God this morning that my mother gave me life. Because that's not happening for a lot of kids today. Life is being snuffed out of them in the womb. But I want to show you something this morning about a very unique story. And you know this story too. But I'm going to show you something just a little different in this story. So bear with me, please. Bear with me. Here you go. The last story I want to share with you, Jochebed had a name, Hannah had a name, but listen to the name that I'm giving to this particular story. Listen to this name. I call the nameless mother of the living. I don't know the name of this woman. And if you know the name of it, please talk to me after church today. The story I want to share with you is called The Nameless Mother of the Living. And we know a mother is one that gives life. And this story is no surprise to you. And when I say it, you're going to say, oh, Morris, I know that story. I don't want to hear that story, Morris. But there's something here that's beautiful for Mother's Day. And we read about this story in the Wisdom of Solomon. The Wisdom of Solomon is where this story is taken from. And you remember Solomon, God said, Solomon, ask me one thing that you want. And Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. And you may be wondering, why did Solomon ask for that? And I think I know why. I think I know why. I know without a doubt many things that my wife had asked for my son and my daughter. And I know that because I have heard her praying. So Solomon, being who he is at that age, when God asked him that, the only thing that he could really say is he heard who praying for him? Say it a little louder. He heard his mother, or perhaps David, praying for, give my son wisdom. So Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. But watch this right here. Now, as I say, this is a very unique story. And this story, as we have already know the name that I have given it, okay? This story is about two women who were prostitutes. And that's why I say, you probably, Morris, you could have left this story out and talked about somebody else. And these two prostitutes gave birth to boys 3 days apart. And one of the women accidentally smothered her son and switched the baby in the middle of the night. In the morning, the nameless mother of the living noticed the switch, but the nameless mother of the dead refused to return him to the mother. Therefore, the matter was brought before King Solomon, who responded to their arguing with wisdom, revealing the true mother, the one who rather give up than have him killed, a give up life. And this particular story can be found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 24 through 28. And listen to these words. And King Solomon said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is the mother. Do you see what happened there? Two prostitutes had children. One, by mistake, I assume, laid on the child and smothered it. But she had a heart and wanted her child as well. So she switched that night. And the next morning, the nameless mother recognized what had happened and confronted her. No resolution, so they took it to King Solomon. And you see what happened. A mother is one that gives life. And a woman was not willing for the child to be killed. So she'd rather give him up that he may live. And that's a beautiful story, I'm going to tell you. That's a very, very beautiful story. You look at it in light of what I'm saying to you today. Because it may not have been preached or taught in that capacity at all. And that's what has been on my heart the last week, at least this week, in standing before you. So if you notice in all three of those examples that I just presented, the mother demonstrated a sacrificial love. Again, we see this to be the heart of God. So this morning, to all the mothers, including my wife, who is the mother of my two children, I wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. And I encourage you this morning, mother, keep being the mother God called you to be through it all. I encourage you, mothers, never relinquish the title. Never relinquish the title, mother. There's nothing like a mother love. So it was an honor this morning to stand before you and break the bread of life and to serve you this Mother's Day. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father, who is our God, I come to you once again. And Lord, I come before you to lift up mothers to you and ask you that you would bless them and keep them. Father, we pray that you would bless them with wisdom which comes from heaven. We ask you this morning to bless them with peace that surpasses all understanding. And let your blessing be on them that they may rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances. Lord, bless them with faith, hope, and love as they go about their days. Bless them with eyes to see all they do. They do it for the glory of God. And they do it for their families. And Lord, provide them all that they need. And Lord, give each mother a worshipful reverence for you, the creator and sustainer of life. And Father, we ask you this morning to help each mother to rest in the knowledge that they are but stewards of your children, and that your spirit can produce change in the heart of each child. Father God, may each mother find rest in you and you alone. And in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we have asked, and all God people say, amen.